From the heart of Bradford, this is BCB 106.6.
And it's 29 minutes to 5 o'clock. My name's John Hebden, and this is Drive, and we're on air through till 6 o'clock today. And I'm very pleased to welcome to the studio Bob Balfour. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon.
From Survivors West Yorkshire. And he's here because his charity, Survivors West Yorkshire, have just received an injection of £20,000 of new funding. So we're going to have a bit of a chat about what that money's going to be used for in a second. But Bob, tell us a bit about Survivors West Yorkshire, how it came about.
So Survivors West Yorkshire came about 20 years ago, actually.
Right.
And we formed in Bradford to deal with the needs of sexual violence survivors at that time, because there wasn't actually many services. Even Red Crisis was a very small voluntary service with very few pounds funding.
Yeah.
So it was a really, it was even starker landscape than it is today in many ways.
Wow.
So we just thought, I was working for social services.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, it was pretty wrong that survivors had nowhere to go to talk about those experiences. So we set up an online system, in effect, which was email and mobile telephone. And we just helped people to try to find support wherever they could find it, where they could actually be supported in a way that was informed.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was challenging. But yeah, we've done that over the last 18 to 19 years.
So did you carry on your work with local
authorities? Yeah, so I've worked full-time within the mental health firm's
okay.
service for the NHS social services for over a decade. And we did it as volunteers. So we really were a voluntary organisation.
Yeah.
And over those years, we did lots of conferences, lots of awareness things, had reports done in a series of reports called A View from Inside the Box. And then we tried to kind of unpack what the service needs of survivors were, really, and do it from what would now be called a trauma-informed response. And we did that, and we kind of carried on doing that. But it came to us that, really, if we were going to create the services that we wanted to create, then we were the people who had that knowledge, had the professional experience and background to make that happen. So we decided to do it. So it's been a long journey. So getting funding is very difficult in our current climate.
Sure.
But, you know, but we're climbing that hill because we really want to focus on male survivors in particular.
Yeah.
Because being on survivors, whilst there's a long way to go for service support for them because they're oversubscribed, male survivors do sit in that gap. And whilst there are better provision than there was many years ago, there is still no specialist provision. And that's why we created Ben's Place. And Ben is called Ben's Place because it was a male survivor who sadly he was very young and took his own life in the end, because of the lack of service. So his mother
yes.
thought it was really appropriate we called Ben's Place,
yeah.
Because at least his name isn't lost amongst all the others who've
yeah.
you know, sadly not made it. And we can hopefully avoid future Bens. So that's what it's about. Then we took a digital strategy rather than a physical space because that's cheaper.
Okay.
And in effect, we're a counselling service using radio waves. We're just using the internet to kind of provide counsellors directly into the homes of male survivors. And, you know, we're kind of exploring that, and it's working very well. And those male survivors are really finding it useful.
Is that just audio, or do you Skype?
So we use video. So we
okay.
don't use Skype. Skype no. actually isn't very safe. So Skype okay. is not a secure platform in many ways. So we took a long time
okay.
to really pioneer and explore what was safe, because there were two things we had to really manage. Simple, because survivors don't want to go through massive registry. So if you've been onto a government website and tried to do your tax or whatever, it
mm.
takes you forever to get through all the firewalls and all the code words. You know, if you're a survivor of sexual violence, you don't want to be going through
right.
all that. So we needed to find a very simple solution that was highly secure. So that took us some time. One of the suppliers we had initially went bust for lots of reasons to do with their own market position. So we had to then pivot and find somewhere else.
Mm.
So that took time. But now we do have a set of systems that work very well. And in effect, it's one click for the survivor. They're into a secured space. The door is shut behind them. And they have the code to the room. So it's about as secure as you could ever make an internet space. And the survivors who are using it really, really respond to it very well, because they don't have to get on the bus. They don't have to walk in spaces. They don't have to be identified, you know, so the shame disappears and they can really get to a lot of the issues that often are causing them problems in relation to work, relationships, and their general sense of betrayal from those abusive experiences.
So there's actually some advantages in you not inviting people into a physical building, doing it online.
So when I'm also an honorary teacher at the University of Liverpool's Clinical Psychology Department, so I didn't just invent it off the top of my head. I kind of did a lot of research over the years, and I come from a digital kind of telecoms background in the 80s. So I'm familiar with both the academic and the technology, and the sense of digital doesn't frighten me. So kind of putting that together, I kind of realized that it was the service that mattered, but I wanted to know whether or not that was safe and whether it was therapeutically safe, which is really the key to any kind of engagement with victims of sexual crime, is does what you do, does it work for them therapeutically and help them to, healing is a word, but to develop and grow. Mm. So all of those things were important. And all the research supports that for shame-related situations, actually digital engagement works very well. And surprisingly, voice is useful, but actually if you can get people to use the video, it even works more appropriately for them. And none of our clients so far have declined the video element of it. In fact, they want the video element because they want to see the therapist. And with high definition cameras often now aren't available on most devices, it literally is almost more, it's more vivid than when me and you looking at each other in this case, because I need my glasses.
Me too, actually. So actually, if you had a choice and I don't know, you were offered some, I don't know, cut price premises somewhere, you might just carry on as you are.
So we're not fanatics about digital, so we're not saying digital is the be all and end all to everything. We think there's lots of opportunities beyond digital. Mm. So we've done lots of offline stuff over the years. We've held some of the biggest workshops for male survivors ever held in Europe, if not the world, over those years. And they were very successful. And males coming together, particularly, and females coming together in spaces where they can share and they can be in this physical space, is actually very, very powerful. But it's very difficult to cover the whole of West Yorkshire from Bradford and have physical spaces in all the five areas of the county. So digital is a way to reach out very quickly from the cloud to develop a digital offering, which will be, you know, useful for lots of people.
So you need trained volunteers, I guess.
So we're not using volunteer models at this moment in time. We think that actually for counselling, we should use professionally qualified counsellors who are able to work with that client group very therapeutically. And we, you know, we've managed to manage the cost of that very well. Volunteers are great for helplines and for doing other things, but for the therapeutic element, to actually dealing with some of the complexities that arrive in, you know, we offer 20-hour blocks of counselling, then, you know, you really need to be kind of a professional and qualified, and we think registered as well. I'm a very big advocate for registration of professionals working with survivors, because I think if you make mistakes, you know, whilst the survivors are very robust, then actually you can secondary traumatise people, and that's not good. So we really need people who are informed and also responsive and skilled at that.
And if I wanted to make an appointment and I'd never used a service before, how would I go about doing that?
So the easiest way to do it is to go onto our website, and you can, if you're a male survivor, you can self-refer. So it's an easy process, and the form is very simple. And that triggers our automated client management system, which triggers a ticket in effect for us. Then we would respond to the ticket via, we need the email address. You need to put the email address in the referral. And from the email, we just build a conversation with you and give you more details about the service. And the fastest we've got a client into counselling is 72 hours. Yeah. And that client is just finishing their programme now and has responded very well to it. So normally it's about 7 days. Of course, we're subject to limitation only in the amount of counselling hours we have. We have a pool of hours at the moment, so they're not going to last forever, and then we'll have a waiting list. Yeah. But at the moment we don't have a waiting list.
And it's geographical, you only take it for us from West Yorkshire?
So we only take it from West Yorkshire, so you know, we don't go and do a check on you, so we're not going to do a credit check to see whether you're in the borders of West Yorkshire.
Right.
You know, because digital we can't do that. Yeah. So we trust people to kind of disclose where they are. You know, and then if you come into West Yorkshire, that's where we're focused on. And then we deliver anywhere. So that's from, you know, the depths of the Calderdale Valley to the Wetherby border. So
I was just thinking when you started talking to us, Bob, and you said that you'd founded this 20 years ago, I'd imagine this kind of service should be quite cutting edge 20 years ago, and maybe not well understood. Tell us a bit about, am I right?
So specialist services are really about, for me, this is my definition of it, is that a lot of services deal with survivors across a range of areas. And, you know, a lot of people who are coming into services, from drugs to mental health to homelessness, they all have backgrounds of trauma of some form of description. The issue has been that services haven't been really instructed how to deal with trauma.
Yeah.
So trauma is a complex thing once you start opening it, in the sense that it becomes complex the deeper you start to dig. because you're starting to hear people's stories, and that can be triggering for people if they don't know how to respond to it. So we've always focused on the presenting. So I worked in mental health, so I was told not to go to trauma histories, always to go to the presenting issue and manage that. And there was understandable reasons. But increasingly, the Scottish Government, for instance, has got a national strategy of trauma-informed responses across the entire landscape of human services. And they're just about to, they're consulting on an entire training programme for the whole of Scotland, you know, from the receptionist to the clinical psychologist and psychiatrist. So trauma is coming. Sexual violence trauma is just one particular very polarised event in people's lives that manifests in all sorts of areas. But you really need to be specialist and skilled. So I wouldn't do domestic violence survivors, the great documentary the other night. We wouldn't work in that area because it's not an area that I specialise in. So our focus is purely on sexual violence. So in many ways, I would say we're the equivalent to the cardiologist consultant that you go to the BRI for. So the GP will pathway you to a cardiologist because they're the best person, or a heart surgeon, because you really want someone who does nothing else all day than work on your heart. And that's basically what specialist means for us. So we're in the business of working with male survivors and making sure that we do that better and better all the time, because they deserve better and better all the time.
Are you in demand in other parts of the country to go and help people set up services?
So I haven't had that personal demand, but I another part of what I do is I'm involved in what they call the adverse childhood experiences conversation, and have been for a long, long time. So that's about trauma-informed. So I did some training in Cornwall recently through another agency, which was with a large drug agency that kind of runs services in Cornwall. And they're going trauma-informed because they believe that most of their client base have some form of trauma history from all sorts of abuse. So they really need to respond to that, because if you don't respond to what's creating the need to self-medicate, you're never going to really solve that. People solve it by themselves, often by internally dealing with that. But if you're going to be an agency and you just want to, you want to kind of stop the abuse of people by themselves, then you really need to explore their stories and understand what trauma is, and then start to work with them to kind of unpack that healthily and safely so they can actually stop harming themselves often. So it's all about change. I think trauma is a conversation that people are increasingly going to hear. The problem with sexual trauma in particular is it's the unspeakable, because it reminds everybody that your children might not be safe, you know, in the context that you leave them. And we don't want to do that. So to think about that. So we kind of deny it or avoid it, because if we don't think about it, then it doesn't exist. But unfortunately, as we, we hear it over and over again, if we do listen, then actually it's a major problem in society. And we're not here to solve that problem in relation to safeguarding. We're here to kind of fix and support services so they can be better and more responsive to the needs of those victims, males in our case, and Rape Crisis do an excellent job with female survivors across the county.
Tell us about the grant. Was in fact the service at, was the Ben's Place service at risk before you got the grant?
Well, we kind of designed the service so we can kind of run on a very low minimum sort of basis. So we kind of were constantly looking for funding, and most of the funding we're looking for is kind of core funding or the counselling hours. So they're the two biggest things that you need to, the hardest things to get funding for. So we get funding for workshops and for training and for having all sorts of kind of ring fence projects, because they're kind of easy to fund and they're easy to measure and they're easy to kind of score. So funders are very keen to do that.
Yes.
Funders are much more reluctant to core fund you, basically that's salaries and also the counselling hours, because they're really conscious about the outcomes. So if you put a pound in, what do we get out? And measuring that becomes very difficult. So our system actually helps us to measure a lot more effectively than lots of systems, because we have automated forms for clients to fill in with their session, because it's all online. They get a text message or an email and they basically just fill it, click the boxes on the form as you get from Amazon or somebody else in a customer survey, basically. So we can collect data a lot better and we can actually then crunch it. So we're really ahead of the game in that, but it's still a hard struggle. So the 20 grand is a great boost to us. It was, you know, there was a £1,000 grant came from the Quakers just after Christmas, which was out of the blue, and that was really nice. But the 20 grand was even nicer, because it allows us to put the majority, nearly a substantial part of that is going into counselling hours. The rest of it is going to help us to kind of fund our rent and to keep paying the cost of the software and kind of just subsidise us to actually keep going to gain more money, so we can add more value and more hours and more reach to our service.
And you're constantly looking for resources
and
grants.
I don't know anybody in the voluntary sector who isn't looking for grants, and I don't know, everybody's facing cutbacks. Local authorities are paying. Bradford, historically had a major reputation for supporting the voluntary sector and to doing that exceptionally well. And of course, they've had to cut back, and it's amazing that they've held some of the budgets that they've held because of the cutbacks that come from central government.
Yeah.
You know, foundations like the Lloyds Bank Foundation were also funded by the Lloyds Bank Foundation and have been for the last year to help us to develop our project, and that's been an exceptionally useful grant, and they've been really helpful. You know, and we'll be bidding to them again, and we're bidding to the Ministry of Justice, and we're bidding to anybody that comes along that fits for our particular service.
And
model.
It's just a constant thing looking for
everybody's in the same. We're all in the same. We're all in the same.
Sending off the.
But we do collaborate. So we collaborate with Rape Crisis in particular because we kind of they sit alongside as a specialist service. So we collaborate with them, and we kind of we share a kind of growing conversation about how we work more smartly, really, to deliver need across gaps that still exist in West Yorkshire.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all of those things. We're in a changed and complex environment. But, if you're positive and have a vision to help people, and when you hear the survivors who come on board, and you hear them say, you know, that's really, really changed my life, or it helped me at that moment in time and made a difference. You know, that's the best measurable outcome you're ever going to get, is actually it made a difference. And people remember, and they remember that for the rest of their lives. You can't fix things. You can't make everything disappear, and it's a wonderful world. But what you can do is give them lots of the tools and lots of the support so they can start to make their lives live better for themselves, really.
Okay. Bob, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon, and well done with the grants, and wish you well for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks
very much.
Thank you.
That's Bob Balfour, and he's the founder and CEO of Bradford Bay sexual violence charity Survivors West Yorkshire. I'm very happy to receive £20,000. Sorry, who was that from again?
It's from the People's Lottery.
People's Lottery. Yeah, great stuff.
Yeah.
Lovely. Thanks very much, Bob. Here's Alfia and Donna.